Well, we're done with Advent 2020. Although for most of us, I suspect most of this year, 2020, has felt like one long Advent. We've been waiting for the pandemic to be over, waiting for things to get back to normal, waiting for the election to be over, waiting to see family and friends again, waiting for a vaccine, waiting for Jesus, waiting for Christmas. And Christmas came, like it has for the past 2,000 plus years. Christmas came. Was it worth waiting for? Did you receive the gift you were hoping for? Or maybe your package is stuck in some USPS warehouse and hasn't been delivered yet. Or were you just glad to be able to lose yourself for a little while in the spirit of Christmas? Did you rejoice in the appearance of our healing Savior for this broken world? Today, we will hear about two people who waited their whole lives for their Savior to appear. May God grant us ears to hear the cry of the baby in a manger, and eyes to see Emmanuel, for God is indeed with us. Let us pray. O Christ, on this Christmas Sunday, help us to recognize anew that your salvation is indeed worth waiting for. Amen. In our gospel reading this morning, we learn that Mary and Joseph, in accordance with Jewish law, have brought Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to be circumcised and dedicated to God. As Rochelle noted last Sunday, Mary and Joseph were poor. We know this because Mary offered two doves, which was the offering prescribed by the law for someone who could not afford a lamb. Among the general hubbub of the temple, it would have been easy to overlook this poor family from the backwater village of Nazareth, and yet, as is often the case with God, the opposite happens. Remember Mary and her words in her Magnificat from the previous chapter in Luke? "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." In God's upside-down kingdom, the poor are rich, the last are first, the meek inherit the earth, and God's greatest gift to humanity is a baby wrapped in rags with a feed trough for a bed, whose birth is attended by his mom and his dad, some shepherds, and a bunch of livestock. If anyone had drawn up a strategy and labeled it God's successful plan for the salvation to the world, I doubt it would have looked anything like this. We do well to remember that God does not define success the same way society does. Like that day long ago in the temple, we can get so engaged in the work of our lives and the church that we might very well overlook the appearing of Christ among us. In this case, it's a poor couple from Nazareth at the temple with their firstborn, just trying to do the right thing by the law. Enter Simeon and Anna. They do not miss Jesus. They recognize the Holy Family immediately. How is this so? Verse 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah." So we learn that Simeon was righteous and devout. He lived in a way that reflected God's character. He spent his time in prayer and reading of the scriptures, and as a result, he was in tune with the Spirit. And because of his connection with the Spirit, God had revealed to him that he would see the Messiah before he died. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Unlike Simeon, who lived outside the temple, Anna calls the house of the Lord her home. She is in constant communion with God, fasting and praying, so that she is open to God's voice. Both Simeon and Anna lived lives that allowed them to be attentive to and receptive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is found in 1 Kings 19. Elijah has fled into the wilderness to escape the death threats of Ahab and Jezebel. He is discouraged and he wishes to die. "I have had enough, Lord," he says. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." God's response is to provide sustenance for Elijah and to lead him to a cave on Mount Horeb, where Elijah spends the night. We pick up the story the next day. "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave." In the midst of the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, in the midst of the anxiety, the 24/7 bad news cycle, the stress of trying to hold everything together, in the midst of the noise both inside and outside, we can often miss God's gentle whisper. Simeon and Anna could easily have been distracted by the noise around them, the hubbub of the temple, the buying and selling to appease the requirements of the law, the constant loud prayers, the smell of incense, the sounds of lambs and doves, the public portrayals of piety by those wishing to be seen as pious, the Pharisees and priests so caught up in the machinations of the temple, making sure the law was followed so that they and the people would not be unclean. Simeon and Anna, I am sure, were not unaware of what was happening outside the temple. The oppression of the Jewish people under the Roman occupation, which impacted the kind of Messiah people were looking for, a warrior king to overthrow their oppressor. And I suspect they could see the inequalities in the society around them, in particular Anna, who as a widow had very few rights, and yet here she is in Luke alongside Simeon, recognizing the Messiah of her people. Simeon and Anna, through prayer, fasting, worship, and the study of Scripture, created space for God to speak into their lives. They could hear God's gentle whisper cutting through the noise around them. I am reminded of a time when I was at a men's retreat. Our leader took us to a cave and brought us to a place deep underground. He made one simple request, that we turn off our lights, which we did and discovered that there is no darkness like the darkness beneath the earth. As is often the case, I feel many questions moving inside of me. Should I reach out blindly and touch the brother nearest me? Should I be still? Should I continue to sit in silence? Should I give voice to the song rising up from my belly? So I sit in silence, listening to the noise of my inner turmoil and my confusion. But the song remains. So I begin to sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The melody fills the tiny room of stone. The words seem to rise up and hang in the darkness of the ceiling. The song ends, silence returns, and I wonder if I did right. Then a brother begins to weep. His sobs fill the space around us where the song once was. Later, he tells us why, sharing some struggles and giving credit to the song for releasing him. His story helps the rest of us to share somehow in this cave of confusion, grace has broken through. When we crawl back out, into the light, the muddy earth drying on our skin, we are changed men. Like the story of Elijah, somehow in that cave, a space was created for us to hear the gentle whisper of God and to respond. Simeon and Anna are attuned to God's Spirit, and when the Spirit prompts them to respond, they do so. Simeon means one who hears and obeys. Simeon did not just hear God's voice. He obeyed. He responded. He believed God's promise of the coming Messiah. And when God said go, he got up and he went. Verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he, Simeon, went into the temple courts. Anna responds to God's prompting as well. Verse 38. Coming up to them at that very moment, she, Anna, gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Let's flip this a little. What if Anna had not come up to them at that very moment? She would have missed the Messiah. What would have happened if Simeon had not responded to God's prompting to go to the temple at that very time Mary and Joseph were there? He would have missed Jesus. What if I had not lifted my fearful voice into the darkness and refused to sing Amazing Grace? Maybe Simeon would have died as a bitter prophet, wondering why God lied to him. Maybe Anna would have blamed God for reneging on God's promise. Maybe grace would not have changed me and a group of young men in that cave long ago. In Joshua we read, not one of the good promises which the Lord has made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. God's promises never fail. Rather, we fail to respond to God's promises. If we truly believe God will do what God promised, then we will respond. We will, like Simeon and Anna, in the words of the old spiritual, move when the Spirit says move. We will open our arms wide praising God and embrace our Messiah. Simeon took the child Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Both Simeon and Anna see in Jesus the salvation of their people and of the whole world. Their spirits are open to God's gentle whisper. They respond to God's promptings and God's promises. They operate within God's timing and respond to this particular moment in history. I'm sure you've heard the quote, "God is never early, God is never late, God is always on time." Like Anna and Simeon, we need to be in tune to God's timing. Habakkuk 2:3 says it this way, "For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." Simeon and Anna have been waiting their entire lives for God to fulfill God's promises. The people of Israel waited for many generations for their Messiah, and when Jesus came, they missed him. We do not like to wait. In this age of instant information at our fingertips, we can get annoyed if the internet gets slow or someone does not respond immediately to our text. We want what we want, and we want it now. But God's view of time is so very different than our own. In 2 Peter, we read, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day." We don't set our spiritual clocks to the Eastern time zone, the Central time zone, the Mountain time zone, or the Pacific time zone. We calibrate our hearts to God's time zone. Like Simeon and Anna, we need to wait on God's timing. We need to trust that what God has promised is always worth waiting for. To know that while we may not yet see our dreams come to fruition, God is still wrapping the gift, preparing it and us in such a way so that when it is revealed, we are ready to receive exactly what God has promised. So on this Christmas spirit, on this Christmas Sunday, God's Spirit is moving like a gentle whisper through the cracks and the crevices in the caves of our lives, calling us out of the darkness into the bright song of grace. We see like Simeon and say, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." We respond like Anna by giving thanks and speaking about the child, this Jesus, to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. We rest in the knowledge that God's promises never fail, that no matter how long the wait, the gifts of God are always worth waiting for. So then, on this Christmas Sunday, we with the prophet Isaiah can boldly proclaim, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in God's salvation." Amen.